Hello everyone, welcome back to the Blade Runner Minute.
Do you remember when you used to stop and restart for all the bad intros that you would do, and it would take like 10 minutes to redo the intro, and now you're just like, yeah, whatever, you know what you're listening to.
I want to do that again.
Okay, do it again.
I think I'm going to start it with you saying, do you remember when you yada yada yada?
Okay.
I'm not even going to do an intro. Sandra, what are your thoughts on minute 89?
It's kind of like an in-between. The last half of this minute is an in-between, like 30 seconds worth.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I don't have as much to talk about this minute.
I didn't say what it starts with and ends with.
You want to do that?
It's tradition.
Okay, go do it.
Okay, it's the Alex Robinson tradition. Inspired okay. Tradition. Minute 89 starts with the police letting Decker... Wow.
I can't believe that I've met Alex Robinson, and I had no idea until we were, like, halfway done with this podcast.
Did you tell the story?
I don't know if I did, but I think I called you to tell you this.
Yes, and we didn't put it on the show.
Yes. Can I do the...
Yeah, go to your Alex Robinson story.
So, a family that I grew up next to on my floor, their daughter, Karen Siplin, wrote a book. His insignificant other and another one, and I went to her book signing in Barnes Noble, and she happened to be signing her book at the same time as another author who wrote a graphic novel. And while he was speaking and reading from his book, I was like, oh, woo. I was like, this book seems interesting. I'll buy this book. I bought this Jugunda graphic novel before these were years and years before anyone really was talking about graphic novels. It was rare to see them in a regular bookstore. It was so heavy. It was like 3 bricks in my bag. And I had the author sign it. And I didn't think anything of it. And you keep saying Alex Robinson. And I'm like, Alex Robinson. Alex Robinson. Alex Robinson. Till it's lost all meaning. Like the reverse of what you do with your name thing.
Right.
And I was like, he must have done something that I know. Because the name. I was like, is it just that we've said it too many times? And then I was reading something online, and they said box office poison, and I went, what? Because the signing I went to was Alex Robinson's book, Box Office Poison, and I have his book somewhere in a box. On the shelf, signed by him, and we had like a 10-minute conversation at his book signing, and I had zero idea that that was the same Alex Robinson from Star Wars Minute.
And how long ago was this, you said? Long time ago.
Long time.
And just 6 years?
No. When the book first came out, I don't think I was living with my parents at the time, but maybe I was. Or
so
maybe
sometime
I just
between
moved.
2003 and 2014.
No, it's way before 2014. I'm going to say in the neighborhood of 15 years ago.
Wow, that is a long time
maybe
ago.
Maybe more.
Look at that.
And I had no idea it was the same Alex Robinson.
Wow. Yeah.
That was a really boring story. I'm sorry, but I thought
it was
funny.
Not a boring story because this is pretty... I mean, we're just doing a podcast, but it's a podcast...
It all comes full circle.
...based on... it's a podcast based on an idea that Alex Robinson, I guess, co-founded is the way to say it.
Launched? Spearheaded?
Well, co, I think.
No, what's the word?
Along with Peter E. Taylor.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Don't know. But no, not a boring story at all. Why would you say that? That's a funny story. Because here we are on our separate journeys, in our separate experiences with the same person.
Barnes & Noble
and
Chelsea.
They brought us to the same...
I don't even think that Barnes & Noble was still open.
The same project started by this person that we've encountered in separate ways. It's pretty meaningful to me. But I'm weird like that.
Helen's daughter.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I think it's pretty meaningful, actually. I think it's a really good story. I remember you calling me all excited about it.
That I went to the book signing or that I remember...
That you remember
just...
who he was.
Yeah, I was standing... I parked the car and I'm like, oh my God, do you know how stupid I am? You're like, how stupid are you?
So minute 89 starts with police letting Deckard go. It ends with Deckard pulling up to the Bradbury building. We're back at the Bradbury building. I mean, we will be back at the Bradbury building. But for now, it's the cop saying, have a better one, after he checks out Deckard's credentials, because Deckard gave him his badge number and told him he's filed and monitored, and he's a Blade Runner. And he
just sits there quietly waiting.
And he just sits there quietly, and we hear a very unique ringer I didn't even know it was a ringer until Pris's voice showed up.
But when the spinner took off, did you see those big plumes of this white smoke and exhaust?
How beautiful it looked? I did.
They were like...
And I love it.
Big and fat plumes. But then we had a whole bunch of... I guess he was dialing, so it was weird boops and beeps.
Before we get to the boops and beeps, did either of our lazy asses check to see if the spinner was a model or was it an actual car that they lifted? Like maybe a hollowed out car or something like that. Was that a little model set?
It looked like a model.
So the whole scene was probably a little model?
It looked like a model to me.
Why did we look that up? That's something we should have put in.
Because that's a you thing. That's not a me thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, though. Uh-huh. Cut. What?
Former Girl Scout troop leader from last year. She's in her Boy Scout gear. Just to get ready for Boy Scouts tonight.
All right, back in three.
Hate them. Hate on them a little.
All right, back in three, two.
No, do it again because I did it wrong.
Back in three, two.
Now, did I do it right this time?
Yeah, you did it great.
You guys can't tell, but he was doing the Wayne's World.
Counting.
Where, like, they count along mouth the words and they're not supposed to.
Deckard doesn't have a spinner, right?
I don't think so.
This is just a car, what he's driving?
I think so.
His sedan?
Yeah, because he went through the tunnel like that. I had a
feeling
that... So that
was Gaff flying him around in the beginning of the movie.
I think spinners are only for the police officers.
Spinners are only for police officers.
I could be wrong.
I could be wrong, too.
But I think his is not a spinner.
So that was Gaff flying him around?
Yes.
Where he was eating the noodles?
Yes.
He got in Gaff's car?
Uh-huh.
I know this, by the way. I don't know why I'm saying it.
Okay.
Like I'm asking.
Okay.
But I'm... You know, I watched the minute I did the show. It's been a year or so. It's almost been a year, and I haven't watched the movie again. So I don't forget, but I just don't remember as well.
I like your Flat Earth shirt, Society shirt.
Well, thank you very much.
Do people question it?
A couple people.
And what do you say?
Sandra's pointing to my Flat Earth Society shirt and asking if people.
I said I like your Flat Earth Society shirt.
Yeah, but you were probably mumbling because you had your fingers in your mouth.
Okay. Well, what do they say?
I tell them, well, what do you think it is? Round? And I laugh and I walk away. And they're like, yeah, it's round. I'm like, well, then fine, it's still round. But flat round.
You don't really say flat round.
Still a circle.
It's not short round.
All right, but it's just flat. It's a flat circle. Stupid.
Circles are flat. Spheres are three-dimensional.
You could be round and flat.
Circles are a 2D shape.
You're a 2D shape.
I'm not flat.
What?
All right, moving on. So, boops and beeps.
Nothing you want to say about the have a better one line? Because I always love that have a better one.
I didn't even write it down. I don't know why.
It's a cute little line. No, I always liked it.
Why a better one? Do you think he's having a shitty day?
I've never even heard that before. Have a better one. It's like, have a good one. I hear have a good one.
Have a better one. Are you sure he said have a better one?
Yeah, 100%. Have a better one.
Hmm.
It always strikes me, that line. I'm always like, that's a cool cop.
No, it isn't because he's implying that you've had a shitty day.
Yeah, and he's being considerate and saying, I hope you have a better one.
But why do you think he's had a shitty day?
Because I've just harassed you for 5 minutes, asking you who you are.
It wasn't 5 minutes. It was literally 30
whatever,
seconds.
Whatever, nerd. The point is, Decker's sitting there.
You just call me a nerd.
Decker's just sitting there.
You can't just
minding
say
his
nerd
own business, like, and here I come to bother you, and now I want you to have a better one.
You can't just call me a nerd whenever you disagree with me in such a... disgusting way, as if it's a dirty word.
Of course I can. Look how upset you get.
I'm not upset.
Why wouldn't
Open
I?
That.
Why wouldn't I? So the vid phone is ringing now.
Well, he dialed first.
We didn't know what it was yet.
Talk about the boops and the beeps.
Yes, tell me.
I like the boops and the beeps.
Tell me about the boops.
And he looks really confused, Deckard.
He looks drunk.
He's probably drunk, but he also looks confused, like he's perplexed by the thing that's making noises.
He's got to be drunk in this scene.
He's always drunk.
Yeah, he's got to be drunk. When and Pris pops drunk? Up on the video phone, on the vid phone.
It connects, yes. Well, we don't know it's Pris. It doesn't really look like Pris.
Looks like Pris to me.
It didn't look exactly like Pris. We see an image. The image is a little dark. It's not as clear as the image we saw of Rachel on the video phone.
Right. Oh, no, of course not.
But we can tell it's Pris because of her voice.
Yeah.
But Deck asks for JF.
It was like a big close up, right? Or like, yeah, because she's never used the vidphone before, so she's like,
it's so
like,
she pushes her face up against
like,
the camera.
It's like grandma using the vidphone.
It's
hello?
Like it's like when our parents try to take pictures, selfies, and all you see is up their nostrils.
It's your mom talking on her cell phone and covering the mouthpiece. So everything probably sounds like
this. Because she thinks it makes it louder.
Yeah.
But when she turns up the volume on the phone, when she's watching a YouTube video, and still holds it to her ear like she's listening to someone talking. And I'm like, you know that's not where the sound is, Mom. She goes, yeah, but I hear it better. I go, because the whole thing is closer to your face. The sound is from the bottom where you're charging it. I was like, you gotta tilt the thing and hold that part to your ear. She goes, yeah, but I can hear it better when it's close to my ear. I was like, because the whole thing is close to your ear. I was like, if you turned it more, you could hear it better.
Bless their hearts.
So when she answers the phone, there's not a hello or anything, right? It's just, who is it?
Who is it?
It's like a kid answering the phone. Like, remember when you were little and you'd answer the phone? Who is it? Who's there?
She sounds a lot like, I don't know how this is going to make any sense. This is a weird thing I'm about to say. But she reminds me of her character in Splash right now.
Does that make sense? Like, never seen anything before, doesn't know how things work, excited about the TV.
It was cute. Who is it?
Who is it? And he goes, Eddie, old friend of JF. And he raises his eyebrows. He does that weird thing where he crinkles up his whole face, like his forehead, and he
smiles.
Ah, like all
Eddie.
Exaggerated.
This is Eddie, old friend of JF's. And she just hangs up.
And she just hangs up. And he's like, oh. No way to treat a friend.
There's no way to treat a friend. He's so drunk. He's so clearly drunk.
But the oh. He says oh.
Does he say oh? I don't remember him saying oh. I just remember him.
No, he
it's no way to treat a friend. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm going to rewatch that scene. I love that scene.
This movie's so filled with one-liners.
The past 2 minutes are up there with some of my favorite scenes in this movie. Good stuff.
But this movie really is like the time to die. No way to treat a friend. Like, there's so many one-liners in this movie.
It's great. It's great. It's perfect. Hilarious. It's perfect.
So the people, the scavengers that we saw from before, they start, we hear a noise. So after he tells us how that's not how you're supposed to treat a friend.
Yeah.
We hear some noise outside of the car. And he gets all startled and he looks up. And those scavenger little people have been tearing apart his car and stealing stuff off of it. And he drives away and they all fall off the car.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They all fall off the car and they mumble a whole bunch of stuff in German, I guess it is.
I wish he had a spinner at that point so he could lift off and you'd see one of the little people hanging off the side of the car.
But they stole what looked like a jerry can and a couple of other parts from the car. And I don't think it was an actual jerry can. I think it's just something that they repurposed for to make it look like something else.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like the bowls from Pottery Barn to be hats.
Yeah.
They fight over like their loot that they caught. But they're not supposed to be out either, because this sector is closed.
Yeah, I'm surprised the cop didn't notice them behind, because they had to be behind him the whole time.
Well, they were.
Why didn't the cop say, "Hey, you got some vandals, you got some hoodlums behind you there"?
Right. Or they must have waited until the spinner went away, because when they first came into scene, they ran behind the car and they were messing in a garbage can and then went into the shadows.
And they said, "Nah, wait until the cops are gone. Wait until the cops are gone."
Yeah.
So yeah, there must be a second there where they hid like right behind Deckard's car
or something else that was
off the shot.
Back into the left.
Off the screen. And then the cop lifts up in the spinner and then they come out. That makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Where was I?
That's it.
That's not the whole minute.
That's where we were.
So he starts driving off. He's vroom, right? They fight. And...
oh, yeah, they start fighting over the piece that they ripped off his car.
And then he is outside the Bradbury.
And I love the music that starts up here.
The music is fantastic.
It's really great.
The background with the buildings, and you see what looks like an elevated highway of some sort with lights. Looks like a painting. Am I right? Is it a painting?
I think it's a matte painting, yeah.
Yeah.
In the background.
There's a big M. What's the M stand for?
I don't remember.
Because if it was upside down, I would say it stands for Wayne.
Wayne Enterprises?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And then we see, to the left of that, the Pan Am logo, like the globe.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of stores. So the first store we see all the way the furthest to the left of the Bradbury, is an optometrist office directly across from the Bradbury.
Wait, it says optometrist office?
And it says the names of the doctors.
Really?
It says optometrist, yeah. And then directly across, it says Grand, what looks like Central Market. So it's a marketplace across the street. And then when we get closer to the Bradbury, you know, there are other stores there, like novelty stores.
Yeah.
So I like that there's all these little things. Like there's a market, and you go to the doctor, the eye doctor. Oh, it's, eye doctor.
It's, it's such a busy world that he created. And it never stops. It never, you never get the, there's never this claustrophobic feeling whenever anybody is driving or going out to do something. It never feels like they're on a set.
It never felt like a set.
Yeah, it never feels like that. Even in his apartment or the walk from the Deckard's elevator to Deckard's apartment, it never feels like they're on a set. Well, because they're not.
It felt like an actual apartment, his apartment.
Oh, wait, was the elevator, was the hallway part of the Ennis building in Deckard's apartment? I forgot which part was a set. I know it was, I think his apartment was a set. I think only the facade, like the car when he pulled in, was was the actual building. But I think the elevator and the floor that they walked on might have been a set. And it does not feel
like it. No, it felt like they rented an apartment.
It's very, very, very realistic. The whole movie, scene to scene, feels like people doing things. Doesn't feel like a movie was shot and we're watching a movie. It just feels like a documentary almost. We're watching this cop's journey while he hunts these replicants and his experiences and how he's changing with every replicant he meets, his reactions and his actions.
You know, I watched two trailers to Blade Runner today.
Oh, really?
Remember about a week ago, maybe two, I mentioned that maybe this movie didn't play well in theaters, like do well initially because of how it was marketed.
Yeah.
So the first trailer, while I was doing my minutes notes today, I noticed on Amazon it said trailer, and I said, "Well, thank you very much," and I clicked it. That was a bad idea. That trailer was from whenever this was re-released.
2007.
But after, it looked like a trailer for after 2049 had come out. See the movie that where it all began.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They gave the whole movie up in the trailer, but obviously if you're you know, there aren't very many new fans to Blade Runner.
I'm sure I have the original trailers on that 5-disc DVD.
I really want to see it.
5-disc Blu-ray set.
IMDb had a trailer as well that played differently. The trailer that was right after 2049.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you just say you don't think there are many new fans to Blade Runner?
I think that the way Avengers builds and gobbles up people, that's not the way Blade Runner works. It's more like you have a friend who likes Blade Runner, and they say, "Hey, you gotta watch this movie."
It's like,
and you play it 10 times for them, and eventually they become Blade Runner fans too.
You mean like me and Fredo?
It's like the Borg.
We are Trapper Keeper.
I think we've done this before on this. I don't think Blade Runner is something that draws people immediately. I think it's people who are sci-fi, noir fans are the ones who are more likely to watch it. But I don't know anyone who watched Blade Runner on their own the first time because they were like, "What's this cool thing?" Most people are like, "Oh, someone told me about this. I want to watch this." It's more of a slow and steady wins the race.
Well, lots of
well, that's why it's called following.
Fandom is built that way.
Following. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you took offense to it. I didn't mean
it. No, I didn't take offense. I'm just trying to understand it so that I could
dispute it and tell me I'm wrong.
No, not at all. I just want to understand it because it's a pretty bold statement that you don't think there are many new Blade Runner fans. Since when?
Oh, I don't mean like we're
since
not gaining new fans.
Came out?
I meant like there won't be. There wasn't like when if the movie was released into theaters, you wouldn't have seen 50,000 people lining up that have never seen the movie Blade Runner before. It was more like people who've watched the movie for a million times and want to go see it again in the big screen.
Well, not to compare it to Star Wars, but to...
Star Wars gains new fans all the time.
Right. Not to compare it to Star Wars, because that's not fair.
Okay.
But I did go see Blade Runner recently. It was like a year or two ago.
On the big screen?
In the theaters, in the city. I forgot where. It was an AMC on 34th Street, right?
I don't know. I didn't go with you.
It was me and Fred. Of course I didn't take you. I took the love of my life.
That doesn't mean he doesn't have to buy you something to make up.
And sorry with the ums, or I'll just cut them out. Then we just walked in, waited on a normal line inside, got our ticket, went upstairs, waited on a normal line for popcorn and soda, went upstairs, waited on a normal line to get into the room and sit down. We got great seats. As opposed to when you and I went to see Star Wars, which was a marathon over here on in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue at the King's Theater.
Yeah.
Which, when was that? Like a few years ago also. And it was the goddamn disgusting Blu-ray versions that have Ewoks with...
At the Draft House, yes.
Creepy doll eyes and Vader saying no every 10 seconds.
King's Theater did a Draft House.
Cartoon characters dancing around in Jabba's Palace.
And you couldn't leave during the day and you could only buy food from there that was like $1 million.
And that goddamn line was down the block.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
Yeah.
Or at least further along so that you could tell it was an event.
Yes.
So
that's what I mean.
You're onto something there. They re-released Blade Runner and people go see it. But they re-released Star Wars and you better get there an hour before the show starts.
You better have assigned seating. And we had assigned seating at that Star Wars show.
We did, huh?
We had assigned seating.
Huh.
And we were up in the mezzanine.
But again, it's a moot point because to compare anything to Star Wars is ridiculous.
You know, I think of how, like, when 2049 came out, it made what? Millions, 20 million less than they originally projected. And they couldn't understand why. They thought that there would be just... This would be, like, the big thing. And it wasn't because... This Blade Runner is, like, a sleeper hit. You don't see it coming. It's really, like, low-key. They marketed 2049 completely wrong. Just like I feel like they marketed this completely wrong. But, again, it's a sleeper cult film. It's not... Most people don't want this because they don't want to have to think about all these things.
It's like when they re-release Ghost in the Shell or Akira. You get your core audience that are really excited to see it, and holy shit are they excited to see it. But it's never going to be the army of fans that are going to go see other movies. I'm not even going to say the name of the series that I've been saying because I'm getting sick of comparing things to it. But, you know, there are other series out there, there are other franchises that when you announce a re-release or a rerunning of the movie in theaters on the big screen, catch it on the big screen one more time, people go nuts. Try to think of another franchise that can do that. That can cause
Marvel.
That. Who?
Marvel.
You think if they re-released Captain America right now, 1,000 people would line up outside of the King's Theater? Stop it. No.
Star Trek
what? The motion picture? That's like the second worst movie ever made, next to Hercules Goes to New York.
Yeah. Well, they're redoing all those Disney movies and people are lining up in droves for that, right?
Jesus Christ, how popular is Star Wars? I can't think of another franchise. Like, if they re-release The Matrix, not the trilogy, because that sucks, but The Matrix itself, just that first brilliant-ass movie, if that was re-released tonight, would it do the business that a Star Wars marathon would... And not even a good Star Wars marathon, it was a Blu-ray version of Star Wars.
At least it wasn't 1, 2, and 3.
I bet you the prequels would have a line wrapped around the block. Do you know how many people like the prequels? And the second trailer was...
On IMDb.
Cool.
Which I don't know if it's the original trailer or not. But again, it seemed cut funny, and it felt like a noir movie. So if that was the original, and it was cut like a noir, which is what it is...
What did it start with? What did it sound like?
I can't hear it at school.
In a world.
No, you see, that's what I'm missing. At work, I don't have speakers, and I wouldn't have been able to listen to it anyway.
In a world where robots aren't robots, but people aren't people.
But it looked
people.
Like a noir. So... If it looked like noir, I'm going to assume that it sounded like noir.
In a world where robots that look like people is boring, so we made them closer to people.
Isn't that the way they always had the voiceovers in 70s and 80s movies?
In a world where Harrison Ford...
looks at you funny.
...has a gun.
So, I really need to watch trailers with sound.
Now I'm intrigued. I want to watch the trailers. I'm going to pop on the 5-disc. I'm going to open up that 5-disc Blu-ray, and I'm going to see if the trailers are in there. They should be in there.
I hope so.
I mean, I know it's something we could simply YouTube, but you're right. How are we supposed to know if it's the original? Because people lie to you on the internet. Do you know what I discovered this year?
What?
People lie on the internet.
The hell you say?
There was a guy, he was like, yeah, I do this thing. He doesn't do that thing at all. He was bullshitting me from top to bottom.
Why? Did he want your money? Or did he want you to click here because you won a prize?
Yes, he wanted these clicks I kept hearing about. He kept telling me, click.
And did you win a prize?
He said I would, and I didn't.
Did he ask you to wire him money to Kenya?
He did. And now there's porn all over my computer.
That's terrible.
And all these weird charges on my credit card.
Oh my goodness. Someone tried to buy a Europass on my credit card this week.
What's a Europass? Like a Disney Europass?
No, like a railroad pass that...
I know what a Europass is.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay, so the rest of the minute. So he, as he's parked, he pulls up and he parks outside of this. There's also monitors to the right-hand side of the screen that are black with green words across them that remind me of the old Commodore 64 monitors.
Yeah.
So I don't know why there would be monitors with such small words on them on the street. Why would they be there?
It's for the parking meters.
It's clearly not for the parking meters.
Yeah,
it can't be.
It's the parking meter.
You're just saying that.
And you could play Doom with it.
Doom wasn't like that.
You could play that game that Tom Hanks plays in Big.
Okay, I'll buy that.
What was it called?
I don't remember.
The Cones of Dunshire.
It was not the Cones of Dunshire.
You have melted the ice wizard.
That's from Parks and Rec.
You melt the ice wizard.
No.
Throw fireball.
No.
Do 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 do. Wait, I'll hit it. Wait, hold on.
I think the episode is over.
I think it's done been
Dex
over.
Dex in the building, sitting in the car, and he looks at that building for a couple of seconds, and I wonder what he's thinking. He stares at the building.
I want to grab Robert Loggia or Frank Langella, whoever that actor was in Big, and I want to play on the giant piano at F.A.O. Schwartz.
You think Harrison Ford was thinking that?
He was. I don't think it. I know it.
Do you think Harrison Ford buys his underwear at Walmart?
Does Harrison Ford buy his underwear at Walmart? I don't think Harrison Ford buys his underwear. I think somebody buys his underwear for him.
I don't like the thought of someone buying his underwear for him.
I don't like it either, but what's he supposed to do?
He flies his own helicopter. Why can't he get underwear?
And I bet he stopped ordering online, too, because the delivery people are always like, oh my god, you're Indiana Jones! And he shits himself.
Really?
The delivery guy.
I figured, not Harrison Ford. Oh my god, you delivered my underpants! And he shits himself.
Oh my god, you've delivered my underpants. That was good. That was really good. Oh my god. They're screaming at each other and waving their hands around like teenage girls. It's good. It's great. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
We're a hot mess tonight. Let's go tuck our babies in. I gotta read with the
caterpillar. I can't believe we're still out here. It's 8 o'clock at night.
It's 8 o'clock at night.
I've been recording for an hour and a half. All right, say goodbye.
Goodbye. That I'll treasure till I die. So for now.